This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept these moments of standing from us and lighten by that our standing on the Day of Judgment. I ask Allah to write for us in these moments His infinite favor. And hearts that are awake and continue to get sharper in their insight. Sharpen our spiritual insight for us in a way that would deliver us to His forgiveness and His pleasure at the end of our lives' journeys. Allahumma ameen. I want to mention four things quickly. The first of them is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke about the eclipse, he said, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ شَيْئًا مِّن ذَلِكَ. If you see any of that, meaning the sun or the moon eclipsing, فَفْزَعُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالدُّعَاءِ, then scramble to prayer. فَفْزَعُوا means like flee, run. To prayer, salah, and dua, and supplication, invoking Allah Azza wa Jal, humbling yourself in pleading with Him. And he said dhikr, and continue remembering Allah, the words of remembrance. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, the recitation of the Qur'an. And he said sadaqah, and give in charity. And he said, they said, وَكُنَّا نُؤْمَرُ بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَالْعِتَاقَةِ. The Sahaba said, and we used to be instructed during eclipses to look towards emancipating slaves. Free a slave if you can. That's like a major donation, right? And istighfar, and the seeking of forgiveness. Seeking of forgiveness. Seeking of forgiveness. And so I begin with that to highlight that the eclipse will be ongoing, as is forecasted for about another hour or so, and it was not intended that it have to be entirely spent in prayer, but he did say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do these things, salah and dua and dhikr and charity and freeing slaves and istighfar. He said, hatta yanjali ma bikum, until it clears what has befallen you. So it is supposed to be consumed or subsumed in these acts of devotion one for another. So try to have a share of as many of these as possible before this remaining hour is out. The second, the context in which it took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a highly authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim and elsewhere, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's son Ibrahim had died. He had a 2-year-old son named Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, who had passed away at 2. And on the day that he passed away, a solar eclipse took place. The Sahaba said, "Inkasafat ash-shamsu ala ahdi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li mawti Ibrahim." At the same time, it coincided with the death of Ibrahim. And so the people said that this eclipse was due to the death of Ibrahim, the death of the Prophet's son. The skies are darkened because the son of the Messenger of God has passed away, right? Because that was the standing myth. The standing superstition or myth was that a great man is born today, that's why there's an eclipse. Or a great man has died today, that's why there's an eclipse. And so he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite the fact that he was grieving the death of his son, he went out and ascended the altar or the pulpit, the mimbar, and he said to the people, O people, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَيْنِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The sun and the moon are strictly two signs of God. Two of His great signs. Signs of His power. لَا يَخْسِفَانِ أَوْ لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. They don't eclipse due to the death of any person or the birth of any person. And so if you see them, then rush to the prayer and rush to charity and rush to freeing slaves and rush to all that I explained to you. And you know, you always have to stop and say, this is of the greatest proofs of his prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like if you are in it for self-promotion, if you're putting out this project about like, everyone listen to me, I'm God's final messenger, this is extremely inconvenient. This is extremely convenient as a credibility booster. It's perfect. The timing was like, it's a jackpot. And he didn't even have to say it. People went and said it. That's how obvious it seemed to be, the connection. And he could have just let them be. Not only did he not say it, and despite the fact that he was hurting so much from the loss of Ibrahim, and he said the eye tears and the heart aches, but we only say that which pleases our Lord, We belong to Allah and to Him is our return, and it saddens us so much to be separated from you, Ibrahim. He said all of these things. Yet in the middle of that, he still made it a point to step out and say, this has nothing to do with me or my son. I don't call to myself. I call to Allah Azza wa Jal, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And so this is of the greatest proofs of his integrity and his truthfulness as a prophet. That was the second. The third thing I wanted to say is that this is above and before all a sign of Allah's power that He wants us to recognize and behold. That's what it is. They are signs of Allah to signal for us, to awaken within us recognition of His power. You know, the fact that Allah can make it go dark during the daytime. Yes? The change of routine. This is of the greatest things to revive your faith, is to not become a victim of mundanity, to be a victim of routine. It's daytime means lights out. Lights on, not lights out. Lights are on. No, the daytime can be dark. There will be actually an end to all routines. And the one who did this, what you can step outside in 5 minutes, inshallah, and behold, safely, what you will behold, he will end all routines. And he can and will bring about an even greater change of routine. Not only will the sun be darkened or covered, the sun will rise from a whole other direction one day. The famous hadith of Abu Dharr, do you know where the sun went? He said, Allah and His Messenger know best. Like, you know, I know where the sun went, the sun set. But he knows the Prophet ﷺ is trying to stir in him something very important. Unparalleled, really, in its importance, which is our worldview. You know, we speak about our belief, the belief in the heart. The belief is not a theory. It is the way you're supposed to view the world. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. It is not really the eyes that go blind. That's not the point. That's not the real problem. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ. But it is our viewpoint, the heart. It is the hearts that go blind, the hearts within the chests. And so he wanted Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu to keep it clear in his head, in his heart, in his worldview. Where did the sun go? He said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He caught it, that, oh, you want to show me something, remind me of something. He said it went to prostrate under the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. Of course, in a manner, this is ghaibi. This is not something you have to sit there and wonder, like, wait a minute, how, if the earth is not flat? And the Sahaba are unanimously agreed that the earth was spherical, by the way. Ibn Hazm reports this, Ibn Taymiyyah, they all knew it. But they knew better than to say, how does that work exactly, that it went under God's throne when it's always out somewhere, right? So he said to them, it went to prostrate under Allah's throne. Meaning it's submitting to His power, right? Submitting, it says go, He goes. He says, and it seeks permission to rise again from the east. And Allah permits it until one day, break of routine, until one day it will seek permission to rise and Allah will not permit it and say to it, go back where you set, go back where you came from, and that is the day the sun will rise from the west. That will be the end of routine, the end of time as we know it. And so this is important. You know, some people that are religious skeptics, skeptics of religion, people that unfortunately in this realm are blind to just how biased they are, and they think a little bit too highly of their opinions. They say the reason why the Muslims pray an eclipse prayer is because, you know, back in the desert, primitive, backward society, they don't know when the eclipse is going to happen. So it catches them off guard. And so they have to scramble to the prayer, oh my God, the day of judgment is starting. Absolutely not, that's not the reason. That's a very short-sighted analysis. It is actually a better one is, I know when the eclipse is going to happen. They knew, by the way. So many people were able to calculate even in pre-modern times. The same way I know when my harvest is going to happen. But when I actually see them, as we discussed yesterday, right? You see the plant finally stand on its own two legs, figuratively, right? When you see the harvest ready, even though you know it's going to happen in September, October. But when you see it, the gratitude is just different. You know pregnancy is 9 months. But when you just see the baby, it's different. Yes? That is the idea. Allah Azza wa Jal does not want us to see one of these signs and not interact with it. A sign of His great power. It is only by His power that it's actually daytime right now. The snap in routine does that. And that is my final, you know, actually, nobody move. I promise. Give me 2 minutes. No, I'll be out in 10 seconds or 2 seconds, but give me 2 minutes. So I've actually been staring at this and reflecting on it for like a week. No, I'm not like that sharp. I wish I was. But I've been thinking, should I share this with you? Because we all eat dates, right? We're all eating dates in Ramadan. Some of you may or may not know, the date is actually referenced in so many different places in the Quran, right? Because it's so familiar also to sort of the Medinan culture, right? At least 4 times that I can recall. So first of all, there's the date itself. There's a point here, I promise. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. Allah is the one that splits open the dates and the seeds. He wants you to see this rock-solid piece of junk to people's eyes as a source of life by Allah's power. He's calling you to be intimately familiar with Him through the mundane, through the routine. So that's one. The other one is, does anyone know what this is called? I don't even know if you guys are going to be able to see it. See this filmy stuff? Where is he? Okay, don't answer the next two, okay? You guys, can you see it? Good, I hope you can't see it so that next time you grab a date, you look for it. There is this filmy thing that they say basically is, subhanAllah, from the great wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, that separates the sweetness of the date from the bitterness of the pits, right? There's like an insulation around the pits. Allah Azza wa Jal even speaks about this in the Quran. And He says, مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِطْمِيرٍ. All these others, beings out there in life, right? The false gods, your bank account, whatever, right? Everything out there in life, they don't own this. Let me, for dramatic effect, let me drop it for you. They don't own this. Wait for it. Does anyone know what this is called? Sheikh Dr. Khalid, we're not friends if you answer. On the inside where the pit cleaves, there's this tiny, tiny thread. Look for it at iftar today, okay? This is called a fatil. Fatl or fatla is a string. Fatil is a tiny string. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. I promise you, even this amount, I won't wrong you. This amount, I'm going to reward you for. I'm going to pull out those forgotten good deeds you did, and those very subtle wrongdoings that happened to you, and I promise you I'll make it all worth your while. He wants you to look at this and say, remind you of Allah's worldview, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me put down my props. There's one more. You see where the pit cleaves? I need to finish in a minute. You see where the pit cleaves? So there's a round side and where it folds in on itself. If you turn it the opposite of that, behind every single date pit, there is a tiny dot. A dot, like a peck in the date pit. Look for it. This is called a naqir. Naqra is like a jab or a peck or a tiny hole or an indent. The naqir means a tiny, tiny indent. Allah says everyone else, لا يؤتون الناس نقيرا. They cannot poke anyone at all without Allah Azza wa Jal's consent. So look at, he's calling your attention to the mundane. This is the idea. You know, we've been talking about the parables of the Quran all month, right? In Taraweeh, we're saying these are supposed to be prescription lenses for us. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, capture this, brothers and sisters. He says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضًا. Allah does not shy away from striking an example out of a mosquito. Date pit, mosquito, fly. Well, at the end of the day, the creation is just the creation. They're all the same size, really, combined, compared to Allah. Because people are saying, why does the Quran keep talking about spider webs? The Quran's talking about flies. The Quran's talking about mosquitoes. The Quran's talking about dates and date pits and sort of like filmy covers of the date pits. Allah is saying those are actually treasures for you. And so I leave you with that message, brothers and sisters. This is a world view. How we behave in the likes of these events and what we draw from the pages of the Quran is going to make all of the difference. And so if you're going to safely take a look, yes, we all worried about some damage, some blindness that could happen to the eyes, but the ultimate objective is from our duty, our desire to make sure our hearts don't become blind. They don't become materialistic. They don't become blurry in their belief in the unseen. May Allah Azza wa Jal, with these events and our devotion for this next hour, renew our faith with it and help us behold His power in a way that would transform us in better and better ways. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.